Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're taking a break from our current topic, sex and gender, and we're just going to pause and ask the questions that you guys have been sending in to us via Facebook and Twitter. And so, Bob, our first question is, should Christians smoke pot? Is that okay?
And the person who wrote this question phrased it like if I go to Colorado where it's legal.
Right.
Yep. It's a really great, the way they phrase the moral dilemma is, well, in my state it's illegal, but if I go to a state where it's now legalized, is it okay for a Christian to smoke pot? Which it's a good question. It's a question that we actually have faced multiple times for multiple years. This is the church that we pastor, and so this is not a new question. It's interesting to me the way that it's phrased, Mike, because it implies that the only real reason not to smoke pot is because it's against the law. And so that once you remove the sort of legal boundary around it, now it puts it into a new category of should I or shouldn't I? I think that reflects a very simplistic thinking about the nature of marijuana, right? Because what it's, and again, people have a tendency to think simplistically about this. The way I would want to answer this question, and I try to answer these questions pastorally as though someone's just talking to me on a Sunday and saying, hey, can you give me some counsel on this? All right, so I want to humanize this as much as possible and treat it as an actual person's question because it is. I would just want to ask, well, why? What would be the reason that you would desire to smoke pot in Colorado, right? Is it for just because you can? Is it because you want to have that experience and be a rebellious person? And, you know, here's the only fundamental reason that someone would smoke marijuana is for the effect. Hmm. Marijuana is a drug that has a particular effect on the body. It's different than smoking cigarettes, though cigarettes are also unhealthy in various ways. Marijuana is a very different drug with very different effects. The only reason for smoking marijuana would be for the effect, would be to get high. And so I would just begin by asking, okay, so let's just start with that intent. Why would you want to step into that? You're doing it for the effect, for what it creates. And the fascinating thing about marijuana is that its active ingredient, which is THC, has a half-life in the body of 3 to 7 days. If you contrast that with the half-life of alcohol, alcohol's half-life is about an hour. Okay, so what that means is if you smoke marijuana, by next week, half the THC is still in your body and still having an effect. That's a significant issue. It has significant implications for how we understand the body and for the effects that drugs have on our body chemistry. So I would just answer this question saying, Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians when he's arguing a similar point with the Corinthians is to say, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. In other words, the fact that something is legal or permissible does not make it beneficial. And I think we can go even further than that and say, biblically, marijuana use is a sin because its intent is to get me high. Right? And Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I don't think that verse is just about wine. I think it's using wine as one marker, one concrete example of something that takes me out of control and contrasting that with what it means to be controlled by the Spirit. Right? So getting drunk with wine is one way to pursue dissipation and to avoid being filled with the Spirit. Smoking dope would be another way. Smoking crack would be another, right? Any kind of controlling substance that I put in my body that has the effect of drunkenness or getting me high is doing the same thing. And so my response to this would just be, look, the fact that it's legal in Colorado doesn't make it okay with God. And we need to think a little more deeply than just does the law say it's okay or not okay. We need to get down to the theological root of it as Christians and ask the question, how does God view the smoking of marijuana or any other drug that has a similar effect? So that's a good question, and that's my answer.
All right, here's another question for you. Say a guy or a gal they're not lusting in their heart, is it still okay to masturbate?
So this is an argument that some Christians make, is that the real issue is not masturbation but lust, and so is it okay to masturbate if I'm not engaging in lust? Some people laugh at this question because they can't imagine engaging in masturbation without lust, but I think there are people who have that capacity, and so I think it's a fair question. I think for some people, it's a question that doesn't even matter because it's always connected to lust for them. Again, the faulty thinking here is that what I do with my body really doesn't matter. It's what's going on in my heart that matters. If we want to apply everything we've been saying, even about sex and gender, mm-hmm. we've been making a big deal about the fact that we are embodied beings and that we are body and soul and that God intends to be glorified in our bodies. Okay. And so the first question I would ask is, does masturbation glorify God? Is it inherently glorifying to God in what I'm doing with my body? There's a guy in our church who is very thoughtful on these issues, and he refuses to use the word masturbation. He says, let's just call it self-sex, because that's what it is. It's I'm having a sexual experience with myself. That's actually contrary to the nature of what sexuality is designed for in the first place. Mm. It's contrary to God's intention for sexuality, and so therefore, it's not in keeping with God's design for the body. It's not the intent of those organs and how they're designed to function and why God gave them to us in the first place. And so I think it's just really, again, simplistic theological thinking to say masturbation is okay if it's not connected to lust, because it's that sort of evangelical Gnosticism that says the only thing God really cares about is what's going on inside me. So if there's no lust going on inside me, even though I'm masturbating with my body, God doesn't have a problem with that. God very much cares what we're doing with our bodies and how our bodies are designed to glorify him. And so that's how I would answer that question. I think that we need a theology of the body that's more robust and that goes beyond just my body is just equipment that God gave me to sort of get through life. No, your body is given to you by God. And as we've been looking at, your sexual organs even are a means that God has given you to bear his image in the world. He made you male and female with particular sexual organs that are male or female as a means of glorifying him. And yeah. So we have to step back and ask the question, what are those organs for? Why are they there? Uh-huh. How do they glorify God and how are they intended to glorify God? And the answer is certainly not by participating only with myself in a sexual mm-hmm. act, but rather they're made to be united with someone else, someone of the opposite sex, in a sexual act, and that's why they exist.
That's great how he makes that point of, hey, let's just call it what it is. I think so many things in church and even in culture we tack on an easy word to say. And even masturbation isn't an easy word to say for some people, so they come up with other phrases to talk about that. And it's like, no, let's just call it what it is.
And I don't, I want to be careful here. I don't want to create shame around this. Like, you know what, man? I think like this, in some ways, people, you got kids. You've given your kids a bath and they discover their, they discover their body parts and they're like, oh, what is this for? And so like everyone, as they grow in life, has some sort of experience in some way with masturbation. I don't want to create a shame here. I just want to say like, yeah, that's not what it's for. So let's stop making excuses for it must be okay if I'm not lusting. And let's just say God intends for me to possess it. If I think of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, where Paul's talking about sexual morality. In fact, let me get the text right in front of me here. He says, God intended for each of us to possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor. And what's interesting in that text is that commentators argue about whether that vessel, when he says possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, let me read the full text, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body, or literally possess his own vessel, in holiness and honor. And so you see what the ESV translators did there is they took the word vessel to mean body.
Yeah.
And that's what most commentators think, is that this is talking about what it means is to have control of your own body in holiness and honor.
Yeah.
And so I think that verse right there is a key verse in the question of masturbation. Just to say, look, God, what God intended is that you can control your own body in holiness and in honorable ways that glorify God and that fit with how God intended it.
So no matter what the culture says, there are honorable and dishonorable things that we
Absolutely.
Do with our bodies.
Yes.
All right, we've got one last question, and it's right in the realm of the theology of the body stuff that we've just recently been talking about. We theologically believe that Jesus was a man, and he was resurrected, and we will one day be resurrected with new bodies. What implication does that have in regards to how we take care of our bodies today? So specifically, smoking, drinking, and tattoos.
This is a great question. And this is an area I actually have been very reluctant to address at any length, because fundamentalism has swung the pendulum so hard in the other direction of, you know, let's never drink, let's never smoke, let's never get a tattoo. And those were just rules and legalism. And I think a lot of sort of you're in my generation, Mike, has sort of reacted against that and said, man, there was just weird, you know, rules that made you a good Christian that aren't in the Bible. And so let's throw those out.
Yep.
But as any reaction, all reactions tend toward overreaction. And in our case, the overreaction that we've made is a Gnostic one that says, you know, if the fundamentalists were saying, you know, what you do when it comes to movies and smoking and drinking is how you mark whether you're a good Christian, we've said the opposite, which is doesn't matter what movies I watch, what I smoke, what I drink, what I eat, doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want. You know, we've swung the pendulum in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this question is rightly getting to a full and robust theology of the body, an understanding of ourselves as embodied beings created by God with physicality and with physical bodies, and a understanding of bodily resurrection, understanding that the body that you have, in some unclear way, you will have for eternity. Even though it'll be resurrected, it'll be new, but we know from Jesus' resurrection, his disciples still recognized him as Jesus, right? So in some way, you're going to have the similar features that you have for all of eternity. That has implications for what we do with our bodies. And so I would want to make a case, and again, I feel like I don't want to make a, I want to be gentle about this case, because I realize that for a lot of people, I just sort of want to provoke thought here. I don't want to be overly, I don't want to legislate in the way that fundamentalism did. But I would want to encourage people, whether they've thought about the biblical theological ramifications of getting a tattoo, the biblical theological ramifications of smoking. Have they thought through the fact that what I do to and with my body is not entirely my unilateral decision to make, because this is a body that God gave me? And so I was just looking with my son yesterday at 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul says, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? And that applies to your body. Your body is a gift that you've received from God. So it's not yours to do with whatever you want. It's not yours to ingest whatever you want. It's not yours to, you know, clog up your lungs with whatever brand of cigarette you want to smoke. It's yours in partnership with God to ask the question, what does redemption in Christ mean that I should do as a steward of my body? And so I just think that Christians need to be a little more thoughtful here. I'm probably going to stop short of giving a real clean answer to this question.
Yeah.
I sort of just want to answer the question with a question and with a provocation of, we have failed to think very deeply about what it means to have a strong theology of the body. And so especially when it comes to tattoos, I just read a stat the other day that tattoo removal is a business that's increasing 400% a year.
Wow.
400% a year. Why?
It's because people get
drunk and get crappy tattoos, you know, at Myrtle Beach or wherever they go for spring break, and then they come home and like, that was dumb, right? And so the reality is that Christians just should really be more deeply thoughtful here. And again, I think there's ways that fundamentalism probably went wrong here on the other direction. But I would just want to be very careful and very thoughtful about what does it mean that my body was given to me by God, that I'm a steward of my physical body, and that I will present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and that one day I'll be resurrected in this body. And so what does it mean for me to present this body as a sacrifice to the Lord in ways that honor his intent for it? And again, I don't want to, I think we've got to stop short of being prescriptive there, but I think I want to urge more thought there.
I think a future podcast topic that would be interesting to talk about would be how theology proper, good theology of God as our creator, how a lot of things flow out of that. If we misunderstand that, I mean, if you look at all the things that we've talked about the last couple of weeks, sex and gender stuff, filling my bodies with tattoos and filling my body with toxins, whether it be marijuana or nicotine, like, is it all rooted in the fact that we don't see God as the giver and sustainer of life, and we just kind of disregard him? Like, that's Romans 1, right? Like, we're just kind of trading the truth for a lie, and we turn to ourselves instead of really acknowledging who God is.
Yeah. And, you know, we've, again, what I want to encourage here is just good, robust, brotherly, sisterly conversation among Christians.
Yeah.
You have a large tattoo on your arm, and so I imagine we're talking about tattoos. It's not like it's an impersonal conversation for you.
No,
and so
no.
We've had good back and forth about this in the past. But yeah, I think that's a great topic to pursue in the future. And in fact, I'd love to tackle that in some more depth. It's interesting to me the way the New Testament reasons about the body. And I think Christians have just, we've missed that. We haven't thought very deeply about, you know, we know that there's like proof texts in the New Testament, right? Like,
yeah.
The, you know, 1 Corinthians 7, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's, every fundamentalist preacher used that as the proof text for, so don't get a tattoo. And so every fundamentalist kid who grew up in that environment learned that's a verse I'm going to give the middle finger to because my pastor used it in a heavy-handed way. But if you step back and look at the argument that Paul is building in that part of 1 Corinthians, he's very much saying the body's meant for certain things because God created and it's given to you by God.
Yeah.
And so there are implications to certainly the theological case that he's making that I think would be fun to sort of bat around together.
Well, thanks, Bob, for tackling these questions. I know our listeners appreciate it. If you, as the listener, have more questions, please get a hold of us on Facebook, send us a message, shoot us an email, or even get a hold of us on Twitter. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in other contexts, we invite you to listen in. And we pray that the things that we're talking about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.